You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole as part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Pelicans insider, credential member of the media, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, here with you all on this Monday, a game day in the Crescent City here as the Pelicans take on the Chicago Bulls. I'm going to preview that for you in the final segment of today's podcast, and that's not necessarily the pushover game that I think a lot of people were expecting it to be with how well the Chicago Bulls, not how well, but how decent the Chicago Bulls have been over the past 25 or so games. So we'll talk about that later on. But the Pelicans did get a win over Memphis finally this year, 111-104 on Saturday here in the Smoothie King Center. Going to recap that game for you first today. And then we're going to move on to what's going to be a regular segment on Mondays. I've been doing this usually later in the week, but I think Monday's a good way to kind of look at it, get us set for the week. And that's where we're going to look at the standings around the Western Conference in the NBA alongside the Pelicans here and where they stand, what they need to do going forward, look at some of the teams maybe the Pels need to worry a little bit about. And this is going to be part of usually the second segment in every podcast now going forward is going to be a recurring segment. So those will come out as we get through the week. So got to recap a game, talk about some standings, and preview a game in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. When you look at the box score for the Pelicans, 111-104 win, you wonder why this game was even close. And the Pelicans kind of did, as we've talked about, you know, all season long, there are certain things they want to do, and they did them pretty much all on Saturday night in the Smoothie King Center. They built a 21-point lead behind basically 54 points in the paint and just 11 turnovers. That's exactly what this team wants to do. Pound it inside. Don't turn the ball over. They also got to the line and hit 26 total free throws made on 32 attempts, something you don't see this team do as much. DeMarcus Cousins scored 24 points, Davis had 21, Drew Holiday had a team-high 27 and really came alive in the fourth quarter, kind of saved the team's bacon here a little bit. So all of these guys contribute. You get 9 from Etuan Moore, you get 12 from Darius Miller, Rajon Rondo scores 7, Dante Cunningham has 4, and Ian Clark also has 7. That's usually a recipe for a win here, except certain things happen, and we all know what those are, and that's a bad third quarter, and maybe poor three-point shooting, which was also the case. The Pelicans were 7 of 27 on the night, just 25.9%, while on the flip side, you had the Memphis Grizzlies, not exactly a team known for lighting it up from three, going 15 from 35 for 42.9%. So, after building that lead, the Pelicans lose the third quarter 37-24, where Memphis manages to bring this game kind of back under their control a little bit, or at least get back in it. And, you know, this is the interesting thing, and something I'm going to dive into, I think, over the next this week. We're probably going to talk about third quarters a lot, because I think we have to at this point. You know, the starters were in for the third quarter to start, so you had Drew Holiday, Davis, Cousins, Rondo, Moore starting, and they also started the third quarter. That lineup, right out of the bat, put up a plus 14 in just a number of minutes here, in about half of the first. So they went from until 5 minutes remaining in the first. That team was basically plus 14 to start the first quarter, in about the same thing for till about 4 minutes remaining in the third, they were minus 10. So it's not like that's a different lineup that's going poorly. They're dominant to start the game and then really not too good in the third quarter. And I got to look at these rotations. There's some visualizations we can look at here that maybe will give us some insight onto what's exactly going on, because there's a number of questions. And again, this is something we've seen and it's a familiar script at this point. For the Pelicans kind of going through this kind of thing. But I'll tell you, I don't actually think that this third quarter was like the normal third quarters where the Pelicans come out really flat and don't try very hard. They put up 24. That should be enough to at least not get a lead erased and to not lose a quarter by 13. So maybe you're going to say it's defense and what have you. And while that's been an issue, I really think that just all of a sudden Memphis got hot from three, and that's what this was. They were 9 of 14, 64.3% from deep in that quarter. Look, any team who goes like that is going to kind of erase a deficit very quickly. And it wasn't particularly like the Pelicans fell in love with the three-point shot. That's usually where we'll see things swing. That, okay, the other team starts hitting from three and the Pelicans are relying on the three-point shot too much and getting away from what they do. Not the case, though. The Pels here only shot the ball seven times from three compared to 14 in the field under three-point range. So this isn't – I think this is really just a team getting hot from three and all of a sudden bombing it from there. 9 of 14, that ties a record for them for makes in a quarter. What are you going to do? You know, and even some of those weren't the best defended, but most of those were fine. This team just got hot from there. And then the Pelicans in the fourth quarter had just enough and went to the good lineup that we like to see to close out games, which is basically Rajon Rondo not playing. Rondo did not play in the fourth quarter at all. And while he's useful, and I don't want to rag on him like a lot of other people are doing and say he's entirely bad, you can definitely see the limitations with him. Not playing in the fourth quarter is very, very telling. In the fourth quarter, Pelicans went to that lineup of Drew, Davis, Cousins, Etuan Moore, and Darius Miller, a more conventional lineup instead of that three-guard lineup. And that closed the game out. Those guys were all had that lineup had a positive plus-minus there. And it closed the game out. That's what they needed. Drew Holiday, in particular, played incredibly well in the fourth quarter when the Pelicans needed him to. And this dude, as we've been talking about on here, is being not underrated, underappreciated, but he had 13 points in the fourth quarter. 5 of 7 from the field, 0 for 1 from 3, so only he took 6 twos and 1 three-pointer and got to the line 3 times, along with only 1 turnover. I don't know what more you want from the guy than that in the fourth quarter. Really, like I said, save the Pelicans' bacon here, ice the game for him. It was a great thing to see overall, and you got to be happy with how he's come around this year. So look, not a pretty win, 111-104 for the Pels. I think that third quarter doesn't really follow the script of all the other third quarters that we've seen when these leads kind of get obliterated and whittled away. You don't want to see that, but the Pelicans managed to hold on. At the end of the day, maybe a win's a win in this one. Also worth mentioning, Memphis was on the second night of a back-to-back. So of course we knew they were going to lose, right? Because that's what happens when a team has the rest disadvantage. Goes to show you just how poorly the Pelicans played in that loss to Atlanta there, because they were also on the second night of a back-to-back. It's not an excuse, really, especially when you see you can keep it close like this. And, you know, I think Memphis is going to look at this game and say, well, we should have won. And the Pelicans are going to look at themselves and say, that was a little bit closer than it should have been, given what the lead we had was. And Alvin Gentry echoed those statements. He was glad they held on, but was disappointed they got put in that situation in the first place. So before we get to the standings, if your company is interested in the male demographic between the ages of 18 to 44, your company should absolutely be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pelicans is listened to by 98% men, 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. That is an ideal demographic. And if that is your spot, you definitely want to be here on Locked On Pelicans. Plus, our rates are reasonable. Email me. It's just LockedOnPels@gmail.com. That's LockedOnPels@gmail.com to find out more. We can kind of build a custom package to help you get the results that you want to see. So before looking at the standings, I do need to mention something else that we've seen now over the past two games that's a little bit odd, and that's Anthony Davis kind of disappearing at times. You know, in that game against Atlanta, we said Davis only took eight total field goal attempts in that game. Here, Davis, in the third quarter, particularly when the Pelicans lost that lead, as we just talked about, to Memphis, and Memphis was shooting lights out from three, took zero field goal attempts in the entire third quarter, the entirety of which he played. He grabbed three rebounds, had one assist, one turnover. That's it. Was minus 13 in that quarter. That's, I mean, odd, don't you think? Drew Holiday tried to take over, scored 8 points on 6 attempts, but Davis needs to be getting the ball more in those spots. And just a little thing that's kind of odd and leads you to wonder maybe what's exactly going on here. And I don't know if there's necessarily an answer. In the fourth quarter, Davis only took 2 field goal attempts. Now, Holiday was scoring and doing his thing, and I get maybe you want to feed the hot hand there, but 2 field goal attempts in over 8 minutes is very strange. In the entirety of the second half, Davis scored 2 total points. I don't know what's going on with that. Part of it, like the conspiracy theorist in me, makes me want to kind of wonder if he's doing what Kobe did when he was with the Lakers. Obviously, he was with the Lakers a number of years ago. I want to say it was like, '05, '06, '07, somewhere in that range, against the Phoenix Suns in the first round, where in the deciding game, Kobe really just didn't shoot at all and kind of just looked at his teammates and was like, well, you all better show me you can show up and do the work here and get a win. And they didn't. And that forced a lot of changes after that with that Lakers team. And I wonder if Davis is kind of doing a similar-ish thing here. But I don't really know. But the whole thing is very odd that he is kind of not taking shots late in games or in games they need to win when they want to kind of follow him. So very strange that you're not seeing that from Anthony Davis. So the Pelicans currently sit 7th in the Western Conference with a record of 24-21. Right above them in the standings by half a game, and 6th is Portland, and OKC is up there, I think, by 2 games or 3 games in the 5 seed. And I think at this point we can say the Pels aren't going to be climbing up to get to 30 wins or try and pass the Spurs, anything like that, anytime soon. So you're really looking at Portland right by them. Portland, who's had a pretty easy schedule so far, continues an easy schedule going on. Basically, their schedule, at worst, they're going to go 500 through the All-Star break. After the All-Star break, their schedule gets pretty brutal and rough, and that's where you might see them take a tumble. They're on a 3-game winning streak, but that follows on the heels of a 3-game losing streak. Pels have shown they can beat them. They're a weird team. Portland's going to hang around just enough and is definitely going to be fighting for that 8th seed all season long. Below Portland is a weirdly interesting team. Below the Pelicans in the Clippers, who are 23-22. So 1 game behind the Pels for the 7th seed. They're sitting comfortably, but they're in 8th there. Their schedule has been fairly difficult-ish the past number of games, but they've played very well. They've got just something the Pelicans lack, and that's those guys who are kind of hungry and want to get after it in some of the younger guys' form right now. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can keep that going. They've got, you know, Blake Griffin back, got DeAndre Jordan back. Some of these guys are finally getting healthy, and they're still missing, or DeAndre Jordan is almost coming back, I should say. And some of these guys are, like I said, are just hungry despite the injuries they have. They're being coached well by Doc Rivers. Theodosic looks pretty decent at times, stepping in for the injured Patrick Beverley. And they just have some hunger out there to try and go and get after it. And they play with a lot of energy, which I think catches teams by surprise. Their upcoming schedule, again, is about 50-50. It's about 500 ball usually through the All-Star break. So don't, actually, it gets really easy right before the All-Star break for the most part. They're going to stay right on in it, too. This is kind of why the Pelicans' season is so important. A lot of these games are going to be tight and close, and the standings are going to remain tight until at the very least after the All-Star break. Below the Clippers in the 9th spot is Denver at 23-23. They're trending the wrong way. They've lost 6 out of their last 8 games, and it doesn't look to really get a ton easier. They have games against Dallas coming up, but then they end the month playing Boston and the Spurs, and start February against OKC, the Warriors, Charlotte, who will be fine, and then Houston. So through the end of the month, their schedule is actually, or through going up to the All-Star break, the Denver schedule is a little bit brutal. This is the team you have to figure is going to be falling out of playoff contention. They still are without Paul Millsap. It at times looks like this team's lost their identity, which basically is playing hard and trying to get out there and score a little bit. And, you know, with the news that Kemba Walker's been made available, this is the team that makes the most sense. We'll talk about this probably tomorrow. I wanted to recap the games and then preview the one tonight. We'll talk about the Kemba trade rumors and all of that, and we'll have some fun there with it. But this team's kind of losing their identity, losing themselves a little bit. And been just experimenting with lineups. They're likely going to fall out, but if Paul Millsap can come back sooner rather than later, we don't know what exactly his time frame is going to be, though you have to figure it's after the All-Star break. You know, they're a team that maybe makes some noise further down the line, but hopefully by then the Pelicans have such a comfortable distance and cushion between them and Denver that they don't need to worry about it. So those are, right now, all the teams that are in serious playoff contention. But another team to keep just an a little bit of an eye on is Utah at 19-27. They seem kind of out. They're basically at that point 4 or 5 games out of the 8th seed currently. But they've been really injured all year long, and Rudy Gobert has missed a number of games. But he's back now, and they had a resounding win over the Clippers on Saturday. So that's a little worrisome. They could easily get back into playoff contention. They've got some very winnable games coming up before the schedule, getting a little bit tougher in February and towards the end of January here. But this is a team I always really liked. They play hard under Snyder. They have a very good offense at times. Defensively, we know how good they can be. So just keep an eye on them. It's going to take them a little bit, but if they can incrementally get back in there, they can make life a little bit more difficult for the Pelicans potentially just by climbing into the standings and make it just even more worrisome for New Orleans here. The Pelicans do have an okay schedule coming up. We've seen they've got some winnable games. May as well look at theirs here. The Chicago win tonight should be a win. I'm going to talk about why that might not necessarily be the case and is probably going to be more difficult than that. Then they got a trip to Charlotte coming up, who's kind of in a bit of a tailspin here, before taking on Houston at home. Then you've got the Clippers at home, and then you've got Sacramento here at home to end the month. So some of those games are going to be tough, but at least they're home games where the Pelicans need to try and get something going to take advantage. February, the schedule gets rough. You've got games against Minnesota, OKC, Utah, Indiana, who's not been a pushover, Philly, Brooklyn, Detroit, and then going through the All-Star break, the Lakers. That is a rough schedule. Basically, we're going to know kind of where the Pelicans are going to be standing after these next 10 games or so. So before we quickly look at this Chicago game, over at LockedOnPelicans.com, where I am the editor, of course, Jason Quigley's got a post talking about DeMarcus Cousins, throwing him some love. Don't forget, he is an all-star starter. And yeah, while lineups with him haven't been as effective as you'd necessarily like, Davis lineups tend to be better than Boogie-centric lineups, it's still worth remembering that this guy is a very good basketball player. So go check it out over at LockedOnPelicans.com. Let's start our Mondays off a little bit positive, at least today. So over at LockedOnPelicans.com, give it a read over, get some Boogie some love. Again, the guy is an all-star starter and really might have changed the course of New Orleans basketball here for the Pelicans. So the once lowly Chicago Bulls come to the Smoothie King Center tonight to take on the Pelicans in what should be a fairly entertaining matchup. And I say the once lowly Chicago Bulls because even though they have a record of, 18-28, don't forget they started out 3-20 and since then have gone on a bit of a winning streak-ish. They're 15-8 over the past 23 games. And this is a Chicago Bulls team that, again, is playing a number of guys who want to show they should stay in the NBA. And that causes you to get a lot of fiery play from certain people that can sneak up and surprise some teams. And a team that sounds like it could surprise, frankly, is the New Orleans Pelicans. So this team has a number of guys who are averaging double digits, close to 8 guys if you gave Denzel Valentine a little, like 0.3 points per game more. Though they will be without Chris Dunn, who is suffering that like scary concussion. If you saw him hanging off the rim, then falling and landing right on his face and chipping some teeth, all of that. Luckily, he didn't lose any of them, but definitely went to go see a dentist right after that game. You got Nikola Mirotic, who is maybe on the Pelicans trade radar, averaging 17.3 points per game. Lauri Markkanen, the rookie out of Arizona, who's been so much fun to watch, is averaging 15.5. This is the guy, both these two are really the guys who might beat the Pels. They're big men who stretch out and shoot the three. Both of them are shooting basically over 37%. Mirotic this year is almost shooting 45%, and Markkanen in the month of January is shooting over 45%. So these guys can light it up from there, and we've seen Davis and Cousins be kind of lazy to close out on bigs on the perimeter. This is where maybe you get one of those hot three-point shooting quarters from the opponent because those guys could light it up. Justin Holiday taking on his brother is going to be kind of fun. We saw that a couple of times in preseason. We've seen it once earlier this year in a victory for the Pelicans. He's averaging double digits. Robin Lopez, the former New Orleans player, averaging almost 13 points per game. Bobby Portis, since he's come back from his suspension from punching Nikola Mirotic, is averaging 12 points per game. Zach LaVine, who's come back from injury, is playing under 20 minutes a game, even though he's started all four games that he's played, is averaging 11 points per game. Then you've got Denzel Valentine, who's averaging 9.7. What I'm saying here is these guys in this game are going to go seven deep, and the Pels don't go seven deep. We've seen that bench unit get outscored tremendously, or they get nothing from the bench unit. That could be a case here tonight. That's going to be how, if Chicago wins this game, they do it. The bench needs to play solid. You need good rotations. You're going to need to stagger starters, maybe a little bit more than normal, particularly if Chicago goes on runs. If they don't, this should be a victory for the Pels. You still have Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, Drew Holiday. That's better than any player they have there. So enjoy the game tonight. Hopefully the Pelicans can get a victory over the Bulls, as they should, and we can move on and continue to be happy with the Pelicans. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Don't forget, check out LockedOnPelicans.com. Let's get some love for Boogie, the second All-Star starter alongside Anthony Davis here in New Orleans for the Pelicans. Enjoy that. That is definitely an accomplishment. And enjoy the game tonight as the Pelicans do take on the Chicago Bulls. 7 o'clock in the Smoothie King Center. Win or lose, I'm your host, Jake Madison, @NolaJake on Twitter. And I'll be back with you all tomorrow to recap the game.